All right, turn with me, if you would, back to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I don't want to look at this story. I read this story to you concerning this deaf man that they brought to the Lord, and it's a wonderful story. But I don't want to look at this story this morning. I want us to just consider one line in it. Just one line. A brother quoted this line to me Wednesday night, and I have not been able to get this out of my mind since. It's in the middle of verse 37, and it says, "He hath done all things well." He hath done all things well. That is speaking of Christ our God. That's who they were speaking of. That's who we are speaking of. Christ our God. Christ our sovereign. Christ our King. Christ the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath done all things well. That's a line to ponder, isn't it? That's a line to ponder and really dwell on. Oh, may the Lord bless us today. May the Lord truly speak to our hearts today. May we truly get a hold of this. He hath done all things well. I want us to consider three things together. Three things. I pray this will reach our hearts. I pray it will. Number one, He hath done. That's number one. He hath done. He is the one who has done. He hath done. The second thing is, all things. All things. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever has been done. He hath done all things well. That's the third thing. Well, everything that he has done it well. He's done it well. This is the basis of our salvation. This truly is. This is the basis of our salvation. This is the basis of our hope. We have a hope. It's what keeps us going. It's what keeps us looking. It's what keeps us trusting. It's what keeps us from fainting and falling. We have a hope. And this is the basis of all of our hope. This is our message. This is the gospel. And it starts right here. He hath done. That's where the whole gospel starts. He hath done. Not what we have done. That's what God saves from. That's what God calls men out of and away from. Not what we have done. But what He hath done. It's His work, not ours. It's His doing, not ours. And this is our comfort. This is our confidence. This is our absolute confidence. He hath done. That's a believer's confidence. He hath done. Look with me at Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 3, David said, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." This is where he said in verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, Not unto us, nothing unto us. But unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Kind of like I told you the other night when that man so cruelly said to Brother Henry when his son died, where was your God when your son died? That's what he's saying. Why would they say, where is your God now? You see what's happened? Where's your God now? David said, our God's in the heavens. And bless God, he's done whatever he's been pleased to do. That's what he did in creation. That's what he did in salvation. Whatever he pleased. Whatever he pleased. It pleased the Father to choose a sinful people to save, and he did it. That's the glory of it, is he did it. We say, well, it pleased the Father to do that, and the glory of it is he did it. It pleased the Father to choose a sinful people to save, and he did it. It pleased the Son. This is what it pleased Christ the Son to do. It pleased him to give himself. That's what he wanted to do. It pleased him to give his life and give his body and give his blood in order to actually save those sinful people from their sins. And he did it. That's what he wanted to do, and he did it. It pleased the Lord to bruise Christ in the place of those sinful people, in the stead of. It pleased the Father to bruise his own Son in the stead of, and he did it. It pleased the Father to make Christ, who knew no sin, it pleased him to make Christ to be sin for his people, that his people might be made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it. That's what he did. Verse 3 says, our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now that's comfort, isn't it? That is so much comfort. That is our confidence. That is absolute control. And that absolute control is in the hand of our sovereign God Almighty. And that is wonderful. Turn with me over to Psalm 135. Psalm 135, verse 6, it says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he everywhere. Everywhere. He did it in heaven. And nobody has a problem understanding that whatever is done in heaven, God is doing it and controlling it. But for some reason, it's so hard to understand that down here, even for us believers. Just so hard. But in the same way that it is in heaven, so it is on earth. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, that did he in earth. That's what he did in the seas and all deep places. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. I start the work and I finish the work. He said, I work and none can let me. He said, I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. That's what he said. He said, acknowledge me in all these things. He said, I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I, the Lord, do all these things. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter was preaching to the very ones who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you only did. Now, did they do some things and make some decisions and all that? Sure they did. But he said, you only did what he predetermined for you to do. That's all. That's all. What he predetermined to be done, he hath done. That's what he was saying. He hath done. He did it. Nebuchadnezzar, that king of Babylon, he got a little too focused on himself, like we're all so prone to do in this flesh. And he started looking around Babylon, and this is what he said, I have done. Looking around all that great city, everything, he said, I did this. This is what I did. And the Lord, you know the story of it, the Lord brought him down and he taught him some things, and then he raised him back up. The Lord brings down. Thank God the Lord brings back up. And the Lord brought him back up, and then this is what Nebuchadnezzar said after that. He said, I was wrong. And don't we all say that? Anytime we get into our flesh and then God sets us right again, I'll be the first to say, I'm wrong and you're right. I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin. That's what every child of God says when they see you're in control. You're the sovereign one. But that's what Nebuchadnezzar said. I was wrong. I haven't done anything. I haven't done anything. He said, he hath done. This was his words. Nebuchadnezzar said, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? Nobody can say that. He hath done. He hath done. That's our comfort. Whether we understand it or not, that's where we rest. That's where peace comes. That's where we sit down when we say, he hath done. He hath done. If we want to have a correct view of all things concerning us, here it is. He hath done. Our text went on to say, all things. All things. He hath done all things. Everyone, and I'm speaking first from firsthand experience. I'm not accusing. I'm confessing. Everyone is willing to acknowledge him in the good things. You let even a musician win a Grammy and he'll get up there and say, well, I want to thank God first. He did this. Everyone is willing to acknowledge him in the good things. When great things are happening, great things, it's so easy to say, the Lord hath done this for us. Look at all the great things he hath done for us. So easy for the flesh to say that. But the greater honor to him, and this is so, the greater honor to him and the greater glory to him and the greater comfort to us is when we as his people know and acknowledge his hand in even the things that appear to the flesh to be bad things. Bad things. Oh, look at the bad things that are happening to us, which we heard and was reminded of last Wednesday night, that all things work together for good, but that's how the flesh perceives it to be. But oh, the honor, the glory, the beauty of when God puts a word of praise and a heart of praise in His own child for His absolute goodness and sovereignty in all things, no matter what's done. And I want to show you a few examples of that beautiful word, that beautiful heart, that beautiful honor, okay? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel 16. Second Samuel chapter 16. You know this story. We've read it before. We've quoted it many times. This is the story of David traveling with his soldiers and this man Shimei coming out to curse David. They were kind of traveling in a valley, and Shimei's up on the hill following him. And he's cursing down at David, and it says he's casting stones and he's throwing dust at him. And one of David's soldiers asked David, he said, "You want me to go up there and take his head off?" And this is how David responded. This was his response. 2 Samuel 16, verse 10. "And the king said," and he's speaking to this soldier, these soldiers who are there with him, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" What good is it in going up and saying, "Why are you doing this?" David said, "Leave him alone. The Lord has done this. The Lord has done this. The Lord told him to curse me." Is that not comforting? The Lord is doing this. David went on to say, "It could be that the Lord means good to me through this. It could be that the Lord's about to bring about great good to me through this. Leave him alone. Let the Lord do what he's doing." David told them, "This moment is in the sovereign hand of the Lord our God. Trust Him in it. Just trust Him in it. He hath done. He hath done all these things." He did it. Turn with me over to Job chapter 1. We know this story so well. Everything that happened to Job is just indescribable things. I don't know if any other believer on earth has ever endured the trials and the troubles and the providence that Job did. These were just unimaginable things that happened to him. And it says in verse 20, Job chapter 1, verse 20, after all these things happened to him, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away.'" The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Job said, "The Lord did this. He hath done this." No matter how bad this seems, no matter how much sorrow I'm in, do you think Job sorrowed over the loss of his family? I mean, his possessions, that would be sad enough, but oh, can you imagine? Do you think Job was in utter sorrow and depression? Sure he was. You think he was experiencing pain like he'd never known? Sure he was. But God in His goodness allowed that man the ability to, in spite of that, worship Him. And He allowed him to say, "The Lord has done this." No matter how bad it seems, no matter how chaotic it seems, the Lord has done this. He got news upon news upon what? What? One right after the next. It just kept coming and kept coming. And he said, "The Lord has done it." The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Like Eli said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Look with me, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verse 1, it says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Lord knows what's in there. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And watch verse 4. It says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. That means everything is in his hands. Everything. He leaves nothing up to chance. Thank God. Thank God. Everything is according to his purpose. Chapter 21 says, even the king's heart, the earthly rulers in charge, even the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Everything that has ever been done, he has done it. Everything that happens, he's the doer of it. He hath done all things. He hath done all things. And thank God, to the praise of his glory, he hath done all things well. He's done all things well. That word well means completely, to the fullest, excellently. He's done all things excellently. It means rightly, with no room for blame. It means honorably. He hath done all things well. All things well. Turn with me over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Boy, we say that by the grace of God, don't we? Sinners like us, that is only by the grace of God. But at all times, during all things, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, that's a blessed man. Verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And they are, aren't they? They are. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He'll deliver us temporarily out of them all until he finally delivers us eternally out from all of them. Verse 20 says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. But verse 22 says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. David said, the Lord has redeemed his people, and he's redeemed them well, completely, rightly. So he said, let's magnify him for that. Let's magnify him for that. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Oh, how perfectly you've done it all. How perfectly. Turn with me to this one, Isaiah 44. I love this. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 21. It says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. Right here, he said, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. He has redeemed his people and glorified himself in the process. Received all the glory in the process. The Apostle Paul said, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's what he did. Our response is glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. We were there in Job just a moment ago. Don't turn back. But Job's ending comment to everything that happened to him after all that was done and after he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, this is what he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you imagine saying that in a moment of trial like that? Well, God's people do, don't they? God gives them a heart. He gives them a spirit and causes them to say and mean it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has done all things well. You think that's how Job thought things were going to go that day when he woke up? No. But he knew in his heart, he's done all things well. In closing, I want to read two things to you. The first one is a hymn from the old Gadsby hymnal. Some of you may know about that hymnal. Anyway, this is one of the songs in that hymnal. It says, come saints and sing in sweet accord, with solemn pleasure tell the covenant made with David's Lord. In all things it was ordered well. This covenant stood ere time began, that God with man might dwell. Eternal wisdom drew the plan. In all things it was ordered well. This covenant, O believer, stands, thy rising fears to quell, sealed by the surety's bleeding hands. In all things it was ordered well. 'Twas made with the Lord Jesus for his bride before the sinner fell. 'Twas signed and sealed and ratified. In all things it was ordered well. When rolling worlds depart on fire and thousands sink to hell, This covenant shall the saints admire. In all things it was ordered well. In glory soon with Christ their King, His saints shall surely dwell. And this blessed covenant ever sing. In all things it was ordered well. Concerning the eternal security and the eternal salvation of God's people, let's rest in this right here. Let's just rest in this right here. Christ Jesus our Lord, He hath done all things well. Concerning salvation, concerning eternity, He hath done all things well. His oath, His covenant, His blood has well accomplished all things that needed to be accomplished for us. And we're secure in Him. We're secure. We're secure. Let's remember that. Now, the second thing I want to read to you is concerning every moment that you and I will face right here in this life on earth from now till the moment we make it to our eternal security, till the moment we enter into glory. A man named William Cowper or Cooper, he wrote this hymn. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. He creates the storm and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. In the end, every single child of God, every one of us, every true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, will have the privilege of saying with absolute confidence, He hath done all things well. Every child of God will have that privilege. He and she will have the privilege of saying with absolute confidence, He hath done all things well. That's going to be the cry of the saints for all eternity. That's going to be our cry for all eternity. If we enjoy saying that now, the Lord's going to allow us to enjoy saying that for all eternity. He hath done all things well. Amen. Amen. Now I will close us and dismiss us with a word of prayer. And then, the Lord willing, we'll meet back together again at 6 o'clock p.m.